All right, good evening, everyone. This is Rochelle Wilhite, the designated broker for Best Choice Realty. We are on conference call number 3 today, which we are going to be talking about how to converse with real estate contacts, specifically buyers tonight, and how do you convert them? How do you convert them from just being a client or just a lead into a client? How do you do that? What kind of questions do you need to ask? What do you need to keep in mind when you're working your database? We're going to go over some common things to think about when you're talking about this topic. When you are thinking about conversing to convert leads into actual contacts, you are wanting to look at your database size. And that's a lot of the things that many agents miss is that they think that it's overwhelming or I just don't have any leads. And they really need to sit down and really kind of come up with a list of contacts that they can make, a database of leads that they can work very smart and often. We've all heard it's really true. The more leads you contact, the more business you're going to have. So if you are only contacting at least one person in your database per week with a personalized email, just by increasing that number or contacting more people in your database per week or per day with personalized emails or phone calls, that will net you more real estate transactions. It's a numbers game. So we're going to spend some time talking about making phone calls and what to send in emails. I break this up into two different segments. Tonight we're going to spend some time talking about the phone calls and what to do with your database. You can use many different tools. There are what they call client relationship managers, or CRMs. I'm not going to go into each individual one and show you how that works. I want to talk high level about what you should do with those leads when they become your lead, and how do you convert that lead into an actual contact or convert it into an actual sale. Making phone calls is probably the number one thing a lot of you fail to do. You think you can email or text them, but you really need to make phone calls and connect with them on a personal level, not rely just on these automatic batch emails or automatic emails that go out on your behalf. One excellent way to do this that you may not have consistently tried is by sending them a few listings from time to time, but then calling them and saying, hey, you know, you may have set it up on the MLS or on your website, so they're getting notified automatically of properties that meet their criteria. But have you put it on your schedule to actually follow up and call them, actually ask them how the home search is coming along, or if they're getting the right listings? They often appear or they think that you're sending those things to their desk. And some of the clients I've talked to in the past year have said, you know, the real estate agent I was working with was sending me things that did not meet my criteria or were sending me things in cities that I told this agent I didn't want to be in Kent. I wanted to be in Renton. Those types of situations happen, and I think many times too much, and you guys need to pick up the phone and have a conversation throughout the home search and making sure you're sending the right things via email or by text message. There are many times where things can be automated, but I think automating your phone calls becomes much more challenging. I think more consistency needs to happen, and at least more of a way to follow up by phone needs to happen if you want to have the highest success in conversion. When you're looking at creating a plan, one of the things a lot of brokers have asked me as I coach them about this qualifying or making your, converting your leads into actual clients, they say, Rochelle, number one, I don't have scripts. Okay, so that's kind of, we have scripts. There's nothing wrong with you reaching out to me by email today and saying, hey, Rochelle, could you send me some scripts? I have plenty. But more importantly, the scripts need to be much more practiced, and you know, you're using, they're almost like you rehearse the script until you get it in your head, and then you ditch it. You go off, you know, people are looking for genuine conversations with their real estate broker. They're not looking for somebody that's super scripted and super salesy. They want to really feel that you actually care and that you are listening to them and that you have the best advice for what they should be considering. So what I've developed is kind of a strategy around how I would follow up, and you may want to take some notes down. This is what worked for me. My conversion for internet leads, people I had never met with in the past. Of course, my conversion is much higher with leads that have been given to me or past referrals or closed clients or people that are in my network. I'm talking about that cold lead, that name, that phone number, that email address. What kind of questions or what strategy could you put in place to convert that lead into an actual contact or an actual client for yourself? And what I've discovered in my many, many years of doing this conversion and talking with people on the phone is that they really are looking, or I'm really looking to move that ball forward or move that ball down the court by asking them certain questions around these three themes. The three themes that I'm looking to ask questions about would be to determine when I should follow up with them or when I can go out on an appointment with them to go look at something. But before I even want to go out and look at homes or properties, I want to discover on the phone with these clients or these leads whether they are willing to talk with me about their home search, what they've looked at in the past. So whether they're willing, whether they're ready, if they have, you know, how long they've been looking, questions related around their readiness. And then the last one is their ability to purchase. If I'm able to get that client to answer questions ready, if they're ready, willing, and able, that's one of the common themes in a lot of these coaching and training that you'll pay lots of money for. But if you ask your questions around, are they willing, are they ready, and are they able, and if they are answering those questions and you're really having a good conversation, what that will mean for you is you'll actually be able to set up an appointment for them to go out and look at some properties. And then you'll be able to convert that lead into an actual sale, but only until they are willing, ready, and able. And we'll go through each one individually tonight so you get a good sense of what questions you should be asking in each segment. But number one, you want to think of your objective. What are you trying to get this buyer to do when you get them on the phone? I'm trying to understand, you know, are they willing, are they ready, and are they able? And once they are willing, ready, and able, then I'll schedule a time for them to go out and look at properties. The sooner the better. Don't wait. If you book things out 2 weeks or 3 weeks, you'll miss them. They'll go find another real estate broker who are willing to show them properties. Some people have asked me, Rochelle, do you show people homes if they have not been pre-approved? And, you know, the answer to that question is kind of a roundabout, you know, answer. It depends. If I get a good read on the phone about their ability to purchase, I may not need to have them get officially pre-approved. I want to build more rapport with that particular client. But often I will go out and show them at least once, get to know them about their situation, and partner them up with a lender. And then the second time we go out, we usually find the property, or the third time we go out, we find the property that they want to offer on. So I know some coaches have trained agents, don't show properties unless they're pre-approved. In today's marketplace, it's all about building relationships. And you want to be able to build a lot of rapport and trust and respect. To do this successfully, it really helps you learn a client's motives and to understand their personality. Sometimes that can be done on the phone. Other times you have to meet with the client. Good agents always go beyond just simply qualifying and learn how to interact with a client. For instance, I show them what the value, that I value their time by asking how and when they prefer to communicate. Sometimes that might be even my icebreaker question. For example, hi, it's Rochelle with Best Choice Realty. I wanted to call and see if you had time to talk about your home search. And if they say, oh, actually, tonight's not a good night. You know, we've got kids' soccer games tonight. Then I may want to ask them, when is the best time to communicate? And how do they like to best communicate? Sometimes at that point in time, they may tell me, you know, just catch me on a weekend, or, you know, if you can catch me during the day or earlier prior to 4 o'clock. Then I can have another conversation with them. And at that point in time, I tell them it takes me about 5 to 15 minutes to really understand of what they're looking for and take down some information. So I want to make sure I communicate at their level. if you communicate, let's say you got a really good email, somebody that really likes to email you this long, this is what they're looking for, then you may want to keep your communication in that type of way by email. However, if they text, if they're texting you MLS numbers, you may want to have a long conversation before you start texting back and forth different homes they want to go look at, because then it sets expectations with the buyer and they understand how you work and they can build and hear your voice. There's something to be said about text messaging. I love text messaging, but there's something also to be said about having that conversation by the phone. There's also something else you may want to uncover in your first conversation with the lead, and you might want to find out if they prefer to drive by homes first or attend open houses first before they want to go see and meet with you to negotiate on their behalf. After all, the home they discover is often one that they are more attached to, and they may have seen some properties that interest them, and that will also save you some time if you uncover that point when you talk with them initially on the phone. One of the questions that I like to ask is, how long have you been looking for a property? How long have you been looking for a home? And if they tell me they've been looking for several months, they've worked with several realtors, that might give me some indication that they just have not synced with a particular agent yet, and that might be an open door. However, it also leads me to think that they may also have signed something with another agent already. I need to uncover that. So be sure you uncover some of those objections early on in the process on the phone, rather than spinning your wheels, texting them properties to go see, showing up at the properties to let them in the door, only to find out that they have already signed a buyer agency agreement or signed something with a friend of theirs that showed them some homes at an open house. That has happened to a lot of our new agents, and I don't want that to happen to you. So be sure to make sure that you understand where they are in the home buying process. To align with your client early on, you need to recognize whether a client is impulsive, whether they are outgoing, if they're a talker, if they're introverted. Maybe they don't say a lot on the phone, but you get a lot on email or text message with them. They might be more introverted than you are. If they're anxious, if they are patient, if they are family-oriented, if they are studious, if they love data, if they're impulsive, if they're open to your suggestions, and so on. These are some character traits that you may need to adapt to if you are working with these types of clients. It helps you to bend your personality slightly so that you can effectively work with the client who is your opposite. Most real estate agents that are in the top producers are more gregarious, they're more outgoing, and many times their clients are not that way. So if you want to open yourself up to more clients, more opportunities, you need to somehow bend your personality and talk at their pace and ask the right questions and listen to them as they're talking on the phone. One of the things I like to make sure that I do for these buyers if I get them on the phone is I want to make sure that they are set up properly on a system that notifies them immediately when homes become available in their criteria. This really takes the burden off of your back and enables you to do more deals, and it also puts them in the driver's seat in allowing them to see properties that meet their needs and that you actually have the ability to see that as well. So be sure to tell your clients that if they're using your website or Real Geeks, using our system to get notified, it's what I call the home notification system, where you can set up a search for them on your website. They'll be notified when only properties that come on the market that are active. We do not show pending or sold listings on our website, which is often very frustrating to clients. I had a client, it was a recommendation of my family member who was looking for homes. It's like my brother-in-law. And he was looking for properties with his wife, and they were looking on Zillow. And the number one thing you don't want to do when they're looking on these other websites is downplay or tell them that they, you know, that's a bad idea. You know, that's not the way you want to approach that type of thing. What I did tell him instead was, you know, this is fantastic that you have started your home search on Zillow. Zillow has some great information about local trends in our marketplace. However, if you want to be notified on properties that are really, that really make sense, that meet your needs, that are active, that are very viable properties for your particular price point, what we will want to do is set you up on the MLS, or if you have the ability to do this on your own website, set you up to receive notifications of homes that meet your needs. Would that be okay to do that for you tonight? And just go through the steps and set that up for them. If you have the ability to do that for them, they will most likely use your system, use the web, your website, or use the client portal on the MLS. One way or the other, you should always set your buyers up for that type of service. That will alleviate them or cause them not to go as much. They still will. They'll cause them to go to companies or websites like Redfin or Zillow less often if they know that you have a direct way of communicating with them about properties that meet their needs. Whether that be on your own website or on the MLS, that would be where I would spend the time in setting those clients up on that. Once you've kind of established, you know, that you have the ability to send them information, you also want to let each client you know that you work a radius around where they're looking. They want to know that you're an expert in the area in which they are looking. Possibly mention lender benefits, how they find the best schools in the area, other key information that may interest them. As you're going through having a conversation, you might want to mention that you also, or that you have familiarity around that particular location. For example, I used to live in West Seattle, so by mentioning that in my conversation, that will build me up as an expert in that area. You know, I actually used to own a property on the water, and so that property is, you know, I have a very good understanding of West Seattle and the areas around that area. What in areas of West Seattle interest you the most? Again, that builds more rapport by asking questions like that. That's questions that are centered around the willing category. Are they willing to work with me? Are they willing to share with me what areas they are looking into? Okay, it sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? You know, really kind of getting organized and planning your day with some basic fundamentals of just talking on the phone with clients about what they're looking to do. It's not brain science. We're not doing major surgery here. We're just having a conversation with the client about their needs and their wants. So back to our categories of being willing, ready, and able, I'm going to kind of walk you through a typical conversation. I've been coached early on in my real estate career to only spend, just to get on the phone, just motivate yourself to pick up the phone and just dial. Being on the phone, I was actually very call reluctant when I first got into real estate because I was not sure what to say. And so with that lack of confidence, you may have call reluctance. To overcome that, my coach made me do affirmations every day. So Monday through Friday, I was doing affirmations, basically talking myself into making those phone calls. After I got done doing my affirmations, which was a page of affirmations, it took me about a minute to read. Instead of having those negative thoughts coming to my mind, like I'm so scared, I'm not, you know, fearless. You start to think of things that you're not, and then you talk yourself out of making those phone calls. So the first thing you should do if you have call reluctance or you maybe are new to the business is write down a page of affirmations and read those before you start your phone calls. When you do that, then you'll actually be more, your voice will sound better. You'll have more excitement when you're making those phone calls. You won't be thinking negative thoughts. Every adult has negative thoughts. And so by actually rolling through your affirmations and then making your phone calls, you'll find better success. Then on the post-it notes, my coach made me have a couple post-it notes on my desk, and the post-it note was because I didn't have a, you know, I wasn't very confident with my script, I had a post-it note that said, tell me, ... And that was the post-it note that my coach wanted me to write down. So until I got really good at asking questions, my coach said, just have them tell you their story, Rochelle. Have them tell you what they're looking for. So ask your question in that type of way. If you don't know what to say, just tell me more about that. tell me more about your home search. And I used to use that quite a bit in my phone conversations by using that post-it note. And the other post-it note he had me write down was a post-it note that says, here's how I work. And he had me use that post-it note for my first year in the business. I still have the two post-it notes stuck in my drawer because it reminds me of where I've come from and where I've gone. But the other post-it note was really powerful because even though I was new to the business, that post-it note, here's how I work, starting the end, it was the start of my end of the phone call. Once I got done asking the questions, you know, and really built a ton of rapport and understood what they were looking for and how they were looking, you know, are they ready, are they willing, and are they able, once I completed that, then I would say, here's how I work. Once we, I've got a lot of good information about what you're looking for in a home, and what I'll do is I'll set up a home search for you tonight with what, you know, what we've talked about. And you'll start to get notifications from me about properties in the Seattle area, specifically in West Seattle, that meet your needs, that are within your price range, and that have some of the criteria that you're looking for. If you find something that you like, even if it's not one of the listings that I send you, as you're driving around, as you're peeking in open houses, as you're doing that type of work, all I ask you to do is to give me a call, and I will be happy to do some more research on that property for you and set up an appointment or get more information that will help you make a good decision on one of the biggest purchases of your life. All of this I do, and it won't cost you a penny. The listing agent pays my commission. They've already agreed to do that. So I would have that conversation time and time again and get very, very good at asking questions in that initial phone conversation. My first few conversations on the phone were less than a minute. My coach kind of frowned at me, and he says, you can do better. And then he started putting a stopwatch on my desk and would actually time me and try to get me to stay on the phone with that particular buyer for at least 5 minutes. And that was what he called the crystallization. When the rapport started to happen, when the knowledge base started to turn into respect, and all of a sudden that client, that lead became my client in a very short amount of time. And then I would spend approximately 5 to 15 minutes on the phone with those particular leads, and those leads would turn into actual clients, people I would actually go and tour homes with on the weekends or in the evenings when I blocked out the time. So there's little simple tricks that will help you along the way, but let me give you a few of the questions that I use. And I kind of gave you my first post-it notes, my crutch. But if you get stuck on a few things, I have some qualifying questions that you can use, and you can build your own script. You do need an icebreaker of some sort. So usually my icebreaker would be, is it a good time to talk? And I would gauge their reaction on their answer. So it would be like, hi, Dave, this is Rochelle with Best Choice Realty. Is it a good time to talk? And you say, oh, actually, yeah, this is a good time. Then I would, you know, or I would, the other icebreaker I've used is, how are you doing today? And that would be another good way to gauge their reaction, to see if it was a good time, or if you hear kids in the background or the dog barking, then you know it may not be a good time and you may need to just call them back when it is a good time. So that's how you would deal with that. Now, I'm not going to talk about objections. We'll cover that later in another call. But some of the questions I would ask once I gauge their reaction, they were willing to talk, would be, I wanted to call and find out what areas you're looking into. And they say, well, I'm looking in Seattle. Okay, well, can you tell me more about Seattle? Like, what specific neighborhoods interest you in Seattle? Well, I like Green Lake, and I like West Seattle, and I like Magnolia. So then I'm kind of, oh, okay, good to know. And I would take notes, because when you take notes on the phone, or you're doodling, if you will, you're actually appear as if you are, you know, listening, and not just going through a script too fast, not listening to your client. Then the next question I would usually ask is, where do you currently live? And they would say, well, we live in Bellevue. Okay, well, what makes you want to relocate over to the west side of Seattle? Well, we actually got transferred. My company now doesn't work. Expedia moved to Seattle, and I am now having to fight the traffic coming from Bellevue to Seattle. Oh, that makes sense. Again, I'm listening and adding questions. Could you tell me more about that? you know, you ask follow-up questions when they give you certain information or repeat back to them so that you have clarity or you understand what they're saying. So do you currently own or do you rent the property you're in now? Well, actually, Rochelle, we are renting. We're looking for a place to buy, but it's such a really, really busy market. And so every time we find something, it's already sold by the time we go out and look at it. Oh, I completely understand. Again, I'm just adding more, you know, interaction and building rapport with some of my comments as they tell me and answer my questions. What is it most important to you about purchasing a home, not renting? Well, we've been at our property, you know, at our jobs for the last 5 years, and it's time for us to own a home. Okay, that's important for me to know that. So out of curiosity, you know, aside from maybe the commute, is there anything else that is important to you about finding a home over in the west side of Seattle? Well, you know, having something that doesn't have a lot of crime, we really want a very, very, a neighborhood that we feel safe in. When they start to give you these kind of things, you'll be able to jot some notes down about the type of property that they're looking for and maybe be able to isolate some of the zip codes that make the most sense for your client and keep that in the back of your head as you're looking at different areas and neighborhoods. The next question I would go into, now if they've answered two or three of my willing questions, you can certainly ask them how many beds and how many baths, how much square footage. You know, is it having a yard or a garage important to you? Those are some good questions to really kind of get the ball rolling and get you confident at asking even more questions. You know, that's important, you know, to know in West Seattle if they are looking for somewhere to park or to just have, you know, a single family home or if they're okay with a condo. You know, it might be good to kind of gauge their interest there on that. Then the next questions I would go into would be the ready questions. The ready questions is, how long have you been looking for a home? Well, we've been looking for a long time, Rochelle. So then I know that have you spoken with a real estate broker yet? We've spoken with a lot of them, but they're not very good, and we just really want to work with somebody that has experience in the West Seattle area. And I say, that's fantastic. I have a lot of experience in West Seattle. In fact, I used to live over in that area. So again, conversing, building rapport, but also asking questions. Have you signed anything with that other real estate broker? No, we actually haven't. We've been just going over there when we have the time after work to look in at some of the properties, but nothing that has piqued our interest. When are you available to look at homes? Well, my wife and I work really long hours, but we usually have Fridays off and then the weekends. Okay, so may I ask what your time frame is for purchasing? You know, are you on a month-to-month? Sounds like you were renting. You told me that earlier. What, you know, would need to happen in order for you to make that move? Well, we would actually have to just give our landlord notice. And so we're on a month-to-month right now, Rochelle. So if you could just let us, you know, if we find something, then we have about, you know, 30 days where we could make that move. Okay, fantastic. What questions do you have for me about the buying process? That's a great question to really assess their readiness. And they said, you know what, actually, what type of things should we be considering? You know, we've never purchased a property before. Do you work with first-time home buyers? Actually, that's a great question. I do work really well with first-time home buyers. Most of my clients are, in fact, over half of them are buying their home for their very first time. And when we meet to go over things, again, I'm using the assumptive close there. When we meet to go over things, I'll bring a little buyer education package with me so that you can get familiar with the buying process and understand the timeline. Will that work for you? Certainly. Again, I'm just doing some trial closes to see if we've got some mutual respect. Then I just got a few more questions before I let you go. So will you be needing financing? Have you talked with you know, who are you working with on your financing? And if they say, you know what, we haven't even really got that process started, then I could say, would you be open to having me recommend a couple people to help you with that are very seasoned, that understand the process, and then see where it goes? You know, actually not yet, but, you know, we definitely would keep that in mind. Or, yeah, that would be great if you could put them in contact with me. Again, it'll be interesting to see what a lot of them say. But you want to, instead of saying, are you pre-approved, you want to ask the question in such a way that it's more open. Who are you working with on your financing? How much money have you set aside for the purchase? That's a great question. What budget should we stay within? If you have a good understanding of those types of questions in the ability category and they're actually answering your questions, you're moving right along. Who will be working with you? We actually made application with BECU. In fact, we bank with BECU, and so we've started that process. And I'm not going to go and try to change their minds on that if they are have already started the process. What I will ask them for is to provide me with the name of the person at BECU and let them know that I've had experience working with BECU or my team has had experience working with BECU. Whatever it may be, you want to make them feel like you are allowing them to shop for a mortgage and that you are sensitive to the ability or the relationship that they have formed with that lender already. And maybe ask more questions about that particular loan that they're using. Are you familiar with conventional or FHA? Do you know what type of loan program that they've pre-approved you for? That would be a great follow-up question. Again, just asking more questions about their ability to purchase. Once I got done asking questions in the willing, the ready, and the able categories, then I would then tell them, well, here's how I work. When I'm going to go ahead and set you up with the automatic home search notification that will notify you when properties meet your needs. And what I'd like to do is also send you an email with my contact information so that you have my direct way to contact me. Most of my clients love to text when they're out in the field or if they see something on another website or something they want me to research. What they'll do is typically text me that MLS number or the address, and then I will be happy to do a lot more research for you on those particular properties. Once you've identified several that we can go look at, then we'll set up a time to go out if you have time. It sounds like Friday would work. Would Friday or Saturday next week work for you? And again, I just set up the appointment, especially if they're meeting my criteria, if they're willing, they're ready, and they're able. There's no reason why you should delay in setting up an appointment to meet with them face-to-face and getting that appointment lined up on the phone. There is skill set in doing this, and it can take you anywhere from 5 to 15 minutes to get this done, but it can be very powerful when you do it well and when you practice your scripts and when you practice asking questions. So once you've done that, then what I'll do is hang up the phone. I will also send them a nice email that explains, it was so nice to talk with you. Here are a few things to keep in mind. Or attached is my buyer consultation package that you can look at. We talked about on the phone. Again, provide them items of value. Allow them to see how much better you are than the other real estate brokers that are out there. And then get it organized and follow up. If for some reason they answer, maybe they're not quite ready, they're 6 months out, then you want to check in with them. Don't delay. This is the part where a lot of agents think, oh, I just talked to him once, had a great conversation, then I haven't talked to him in several months. You often will lose them if you let several months go by without making another attempt to follow up with them by phone. So if they don't meet willing, ready, and able, all of those criteria that you have set, the questions, and they're not quite there, maybe they're 3 or 4 months out, don't forget to follow up with them. And you think that it'd be too much, it's actually not. If you contact them a couple times a month, consistently for a period of 3 to 6 months, they will feel like they owe you and they'll want to work with you because you've developed that relationship. But if you forget them and you don't call them for several months and then you call them out of the blue, they'll be shocked and they'll probably tell you, I've actually bought with somebody else. So don't forget to set up a next contact date on your relationship manager and follow up with them after your conversation. If they're willing, ready, and able, I mean, every week you should be following up with them. You know, they're pre-approved, they want to work with you, they want to go out and look at properties. Those are great. But most of the time when you're working leads, that takes them, it's a process. And so two to four times a month in that case where they're 0 to 3 months out, not too much. And then if they're over, if you're 3 to 6 months out, maybe longer, you know, then once a month is not too much to contact them. So keep that in mind when you're looking at your sequence of how often should you follow up by phone. Some of you are not doing enough. And I'd say most of you are not doing enough phone calls. Some of you are just relying on text message and email, which might work with some clients, but for the most part, clients want to build a relationship either in person or on the phone with you to show that you're experienced, that you're local, that you have their back, and you're supporting their efforts of locating a very, very good property for them and their family. So with that, I'll let you guys go. Have a great week. We'll have some more discussion around emails next week on what sequence, what to send out. Got some great information to share with you on the best subject lines and things of that nature. So we'll talk to you next week. Have a great week. Bye.